Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio. This is Stefan, your host, British by birth, American by choice. The Founding Fathers crafted some remarkable documents that led to the creation of a great country founded on liberty and self-reliance. I have lived in the Euro-socialist nightmare, and I'm doing what I can to return this country to the vision that the Founding Fathers gave us. We need to strive to rebuild that shining city on the hill, for without us, the world has nowhere to turn for freedom. For the next hour, I will be presenting news, views, and guests that help keep the true spirit of America alive. And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever, whenever you're listening to the show. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, British by birth, but American by choice. And welcoming you to yet another show. I believe it's episode 164, the Patrick Come Lately show. Tonight's show is coming to you again from Maine. This time I'm not in historic Bath, but I'm in a little town just outside Bath called moved to a different hotel. So we'll see how the network goes here. I have to say the previous hotel had a very good network, but for various reasons I have switched locations. I hope it goes well. Anyway, some quick news before we get to the guest. First of all, I want to thank my listeners, whether you're listening live, like Mary and Babs, Radio Wannabe, in the chat room there, and also a guest. So thanks for coming in live. But if, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to a recording, I want to thank you all for listening, especially those of you that listen via the Red State Talk Radio Network, because the April numbers are in. And yet again, I was very honored to have enough listeners to put me in the top five. I was actually in third position again. But just to be in the top five amongst all those great hosts, it's really an honor. And actually in the top 10 for listeners per show. So kind of hit both of my targets again last month. And I'm very honored that you take the time to listen. I really appreciate it. And congratulations, of course, to Primo, who had the most listeners. He's the owner of the network, for those of you that don't know that. But also congratulations to the others in the top five, Dave Zublik, Doc Wythe, and Diane Student. Of course, the latter two very good friends of mine. And as I said, I'm very proud to be in the company of such great hosts. The Red State Talk Radio is celebrating its third birthday this month, and or has just celebrated it, and with very good news as well. They managed to have over 41,000 listeners last month, and not just 41,000 listeners, but actually 41,000 listener hours as well. So it's an average of 1 hour per listener. That is a phenomenal number in broadcasting. So that's really great news. Congratulations to Primo on that. Finally, Mark Sanford has won the GOP, or for the GOP, has won the seat in South Carolina in the House. There was a special election. Mark Sanford, unfortunately, part of the GOP establishment and a rhino, but better him than a Democrat. We'll have to live with him for a while. So congratulations to him as well. Well, I see my guest is in the in the waiting room there. So as promised in all the invitations and in the at Blog Talk Radio, I said this week's going to be about smart meters. All you wanted to know about them. Why are they bad? Is there anything good about them? And my guest tonight is Jonathan Libber. He's from the Maryland Smart Meter Awareness Group. And I will just bring him into the show here. And he should be in now. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Terrific.
So welcome to the show. I had a very short introduction there. I don't know, is it chairman or CEO, whatever, of the Maryland Smart Meters Awareness Organization. Before we get into smart meters and their pros and cons initially, would you like to talk a little bit about your organization?
Sure. Okay. So, I'm the president of this organization, Maryland Smart Meter Awareness. We're about a year and a half old. We have about 550 members, mostly in the state of Maryland, a couple outside the state. We're focusing on educating the public about the problems that smart meters have, trying to get some legislative relief, and also represent the public at the Public Service Commission, which is making major decisions regarding utilities and particularly smart meters. So we are grassroots in the true sense. I think we've had a lot of success so far, but we've got a very, very tough fight. We're taking on two multi-billion dollar giant corporations and one smaller one, and we're doing the best we can. We're always looking for more people to join the cause. Now, we're focused on Maryland, okay? There are other organizations around the country who are, focused on their particular states. Right now, the plan for Department of Energy is to replace 65 million analog meters with smart meters in the next 5 years. So it's about maybe a third finished so far. They have a lot more to go. But obviously, everyone's going to get one, but a very large number. They're in 16 states at least already. So we're focusing on Maryland. But if you are listening and you're from another state and you're worried about your smart meters coming in your area, you should try to contact your local organization or maybe start one up.
Yep. That's good advice. One in your area, here's a cause you could get involved with. But Jonathan, let's talk about what exactly, first of all, is a smart meter for those people who don't know and haven't been exposed to them.
Okay, we're talking about a electric smart meter that measures your electricity. Now, there are other people think of smart meters as parking. They're smart parking meters. Smart is an overused term. I think it's a little bit like word speak from 1984 by George Orwell. It often means quite the opposite of being really smart at all. But basically what it does is that instead of measuring your electricity, which analog meters have done for over a century, what it does is it measures it and immediately it conveys that information to the utility. And their pulses, these very powerful radio frequency microwave radiation pulses every maybe 10 seconds or so. And some of them go directly to or find their way directly to the utility. Others, there's a chit-chat going on in your neighborhood of the other smart meters called the wireless mesh network, okay? So the theory behind smart meters, this is what they're trying to sell the public on, is that you'll be able to manage your energy more efficiently, okay? You'll be able to get online and see, although it's a couple of days late, what your different appliances are doing, your washer, your dryer, your heater, your air conditioner, the major appliances. And in theory, maybe you could say, oh, gee, my fridge is drawing much too much current or this, that, and the other, and that, or maybe you're set up your dishwasher to run at 2 to 3 in the morning so that it uses less expensive energy. That's coming, the time of use rates. If they're not there ready, they'll be there soon. So that's the theory. The practice is that people don't use it. Okay, we know how to save energy. It's not rocket science. You turn your thermostat in the appropriate direction for your heater, your water heater, your air conditioner, and that's how you save energy and money. That works just fine. If you want to do some kind of incentive rewards with your utility, that also works. Okay, but what they're talking about here is a profoundly different approach, with a massive amount of information that they'll be collecting on every individual. And there's a real concern of what they're going to do with that information, which leads to other issues. But let's talk about, that's the theory behind it. People are not using it. They're not saving energy. They're not saving money, okay? I think with the utility's main goal over here is to reduce peak demand, and that it may actually do. At least that's what they're trying to do. Here's what goes on. If BGE needs more energy during a very hot day in the summertime, they don't have the generating capacity internally to handle it. So they have to go out on the grid, okay, as a grid that covers Maryland, Virginia, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., okay, run by something called PJM, which is a not well-known but phenomenally powerful organization, and they will fire up other generators to make up the difference so BGE can keep sending power to the people who need it on this very hot day. But the cost per kilowatt hour for BGE is phenomenally higher than it is for stuff they generate themselves. I've been hearing the number four times the amount thrown around. I have not had that confirmed by BGE. But that is where the big incentive is. If they could possibly reduce peak demand, the savings for BGE and other utilities would just be spectacular. So that's what's really behind it. Okay, I have no trouble with companies saving money and making money, but not that's going to put people at risk burning down their homes, giving their kids cancer, and invading their privacy. And that's right. The other issue that I may give the utilities here is it will allow them to spot outages more quickly. In other words, if you've got smart meters up there and there's some kind of your lightning strike and knocks that power, they'll probably be able to pinpoint it more quickly. How much more quickly they can get to it is probably not a huge amount of time difference, but it is more quickly. And a massive storm situation like the derecho we had here in the summer in Maryland last summer, I don't think it would make any difference at all because it really limits the utilities not knowing where the outage is. They already know that. People are calling in all the time to get their power back. What limits them is the ability to get crews out there. There's only a limited number of crews out there, and also spare parts. So I don't really think that makes a huge difference. It will make some difference. So that's what the theory is.
Okay, and a quick question for you, because we have a system, and it's an optional. You can sign up in Florida to your major appliances, which they can then, at peak load times, can stop momentarily, and that way save some energy. Is that separate from, or does that is that part of the smart meter system?
Okay, that is probably separate. I'm not sure for sure Florida, but I don't think people are up and running yet. Here's the other part of the deal, okay, and that is there are two transmitters in every smart meter. One is transmitting your use data back to your utility and to other smart meters in your neighborhood. The other one will talk to your appliances. New appliances will eventually all have chips in them that will talk to your smart meter and vice versa. So you can control them remotely. So in theory, maybe they're doing, I don't know if they have these chipped appliances or that they're putting a special box on these appliances like they do for air conditioners in my part of the world. But even though it's not the same technology we're talking about, that's the ultimate goal, is to get people to turn down their various appliances. At least that's the initial stage voluntarily. Unfortunately, and this gets into the privacy issues, getting a little ahead of myself, but it's a good time to bring it in, it gives the utilities phenomenal power to control your utilities, whether you like it or not. So right now it's voluntary. It looks nice. It's warm and fuzzy. It saves energy, et cetera. But down the road, they could do it without your voluntary participation. For instance, there's a woman in Germany who had a washing machine, relatively new, and it stopped working. She couldn't figure out why. She called the repair person. He said, there's nothing wrong with this machine. She called the utility, and they said to her, ma'am, you used your washer too many times this week. You cannot use it the rest of the week. Okay, that's what we're allowing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so that's what we are handing the utilities on a silver platter. They may not be thinking about that now, I don't know, but down the road they're going to figure out pretty quickly that if they don't reduce peak demand, and that's the big enchilada here, if they don't reduce peak demand, they can dial down your appliances, either make them run at a lower current or shut them off remotely until they can reduce the energy to an acceptable level.
Right. Yeah, and well, the system that we have in Florida, because I have to confess, I have it as a rebate on my energy costs. So that's, you know, one of the reasons to do it. It's not that intelligent. Obviously, we don't have chipped appliances, so it literally is a box. And as far as I can make out, it's pretty much just an on-off thing. So when they need down the line and say, okay, turn this off for a few minutes, air conditioning, for example, and while it may be, you know, a little discomfort, hopefully it's not for too long, but as you said, somewhere along the line they could get a little more aggressive, which would be a pain.
Right. And the savings are spectacular, so the incentive is definitely there for them to do things without our cooperation.
Yeah. But in a way, as long as they're giving me some savings in return for that, you sort of say, well, is it that bad? I think what you were mentioning, you know, these high power radio signals, things like that, those are you know, other issues which I'm, you know, how do you know? Is it possible to recognize when those sort of meters are installed, or,
well,
you know, is it something that they can just come in and do and you wouldn't even really notice?
Yeah, well, they're supposed to give people notice. They're not always doing that. If your meter's on the outside of your dwelling, okay, you're in an apartment or a house or whatever it is, they have access. The law allows them, almost every state, maybe is every state, the way their laws are written is that utilities have a right to go to your meter and play with it and fix it and adjust it, whatever, without your knowing about it. Now, they have been giving people notice in some cases because in some cases they're actually turning off people's power for short periods of time while they are changing the meter out. It's not that complicated, but they are doing that, and that's if you're on, you know, some special medical equipment or you've got sensitive computers that could get messed up with that, they want to give you warning. They're not always doing that. It's much faster and cheaper to change out the meter while the power's running, and why it may be more convenient for you because your all your appliances are at where they just keep running. It actually it contributes to the degradation of the system, the safety of the system, because that's a real no-no for the electricians listening to the audience. You really should be shutting it down before you change the meter out, because when you change it under load, you're essentially contributing to pitting of the jaws where the meter fits into your gray meter can. It's a gray box that it fits into. And over time, if there's too much of this corrosion, pitting, whatever it is on the jaws, then you potentially could have arcing and then you have yourself a real live fire. So it is not a good idea at all, but they're doing it. It's very efficient. But getting back to your question, you don't know what's happened, okay? The only way you could tell is to look at your meter and see it looks a lot different, okay? There's no more little dials spinning, no more little dials spinning around. It's all digitized. Now, some of the digital meters are not smart meters, so you have to look and see if there's an FCC number on there, which indicates it's broadcasting, because if it's a smart meter, it is broadcasting, and it has an FCC number on it. But there are ways of checking this out. If the meter is inside your home, right, inside the house itself, then they need your cooperation to switch the meter out, and you don't have to give it. Although they may say, Mr. Liber, if you don't let us come in and switch out your meter, we're going to shut your power off, which they can do. So they kind of have all the high cards in this poker game. But if you have it inside your house, you have a little opportunity to delay the process.
Right. So you're saying that not all digital meters are necessarily smart meters, but look for an FCC number. That's one way to recognize it.
Right, it indicates that it has broadcasting capabilities, which means, of course, it's, you know, doing its thing and sending out these pulses, radiation. Getting back to something you said before, I should have mentioned, and that is the system that Florida is using and to control your appliances now is using some microwave radiation. How much, I don't know. You could probably get someone to measure it for you. It's nothing like a smart meter, though. I'm not saying it's good for you, but the smart meter is broadcasting constantly. Whereas that's probably just broadcasting when they want to dial down your appliance for some reason.
Okay. So now a question about, and let's get, you know, you gave me sort of five major points. So let's go to the first one. Yeah, the broadcasting. And I, my initial reaction is, and of course, correct me where I'm wrong, is that this could be something similar to Wi-Fi. We all have Wi-Fi in our houses today. Are they not using a... And is it really just adding to something that's already there?
Right. It's a good question. They are adding something that already is there. That's 100% true. That's not necessarily good. We now have enough microwave radiation in our daily dose in the home is about 3 trillion higher than the background microwave radiation. There's always microwave radiation out there. So the smart meter will probably increase the amount that's in your home by about 22%. What you have to worry about is the synergistic effect of a new source of microwave radiation with all that stuff that's there already. And the key thing to remember is if you don't want the other radiation, your Wi-Fi, your cordless, your cell phone, you turn them off. You get rid of them, whatever it is, okay? With a smart meter, it's broadcasting all the time. It's 24/7. There's no choice involved. So... that's one of the major differences. And then the other thing is that a key difference with some of those devices is that the smart meter is pulsed radiation as opposed to a constant stream of it. It is, you know, very, very quiet for maybe 9 seconds, and on 10th second, it hits you with a phenomenally powerful pulse of radiation in microseconds. It's very short, but it's phenomenally powerful. The analogy I give is that there's a strange boxer out there in the ring, and for the entire round, okay, he doesn't do anything. He just kind of sits there and blocks punches. But right before the end of the round, he just comes up with this phenomenal punch that knocks the guy across the ring and onto the floor, right? So he does this at the end of each of the 15 rounds. At the end of 15 rounds, he's only delivered about 4 seconds of tough punches, but well, what a difference. So you're dealing with a pretty powerful source of radiation that's being added to what you currently have.
Okay. Great. We've reached the first of the commercial breaks. So, Jonathan, I'll put you on hold for a moment. So if you need to take a swig of a beverage or your coffee or whatever, that'll be possible. You won't interrupt anything. And listeners, do stick with us. Go through the commercials and... reminder again, if you're interested in any of these services, please do use the 800 numbers in these commercials. You may have heard them elsewhere as well, but that'll be a different 800 number because by using this 800 number, you support this show. And I do have to thank my listeners because last month I did actually get some money, which is going to go towards the monthly cost of running the show. So thanks for doing that. Anyway, we'll be back after these messages.
It's the Conservative Underground from beautiful Broadcast Park in the posh Studio A. I'm Doc White with this week's Conservative Minute. In this present economic and fiscal crisis, there are two fronts we as conservatives are battling against: the establishment elite class and liberalism. Michael Moore represents the liberal arguments perfectly.
What's happened is that we've allowed a vast majority of that cash to be concentrated in the hands of just a few people, and they're not circulating that cash. If you don't believe that, go try and get a loan right now. They're sitting on the money. They're using it for their own stuff. They're putting it someplace else. They have no interest in helping you. That's not theirs. That's a national resource. That's ours. That we all have this. We all benefit from this, or we all suffer as a result of not having it.
To these liberals, what belongs to you and I, but not them, belongs to others. In their view, it's okay to use government to redistribute wealth because it's fair and compassionate. John McCain is a member of the establishment elite class.
To hold out and say we won't agree to raising the debt limit until we pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. It's unfair, it's bizarro. And maybe some people who have only been in this body for 6 or 7 months or so really believe that.
No matter what, even crushing national debt, McCain doesn't want to rock the boat. His status as a power broker depends on preserving the status quo. The leaders of the attack on limited government and personal liberty is Michael Moore and his band of liberal mental midgets. The obstacle in the way of defeating them is John McCain and his band of establishment elites. I'm Doc White, host of the Conservative Underground. Download the show at Podomatic.com. Rebroadcast weekly on Red State Talk Radio and the 405 Radio. Saving the Republic one podcast at a time.
Are you paying too much for your car insurance policy? Have you shopped your current plan in the last year? If you haven't, then you probably are paying too much. You could save up to 40% on your current car insurance coverage just by making a free call right now. Doesn't it make good sense to pay less for something you have to pay for anyway? And car insurance is one of those things. You got to have car insurance, whether you have one car or 10 cars. So why not see if you can pay a lot less for it right now? One quick 3-minute call, and you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. We'll compare the leading car insurance companies and get you coverage that could save you up to 40% on your car insurance. Call now for a free quote. Call 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. 800-603-9980. That's 800-603-99.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us through those commercials. This is Stephanie or Patrick Come Lately. We're talking to Jonathan Liber of the Maryland Smart Meter Awareness Organization. Talking, obviously, about smart meters. Jonathan, are you still there?
Yep. You're fading in and out, though, sometimes. So if someone says,
okay.
If they don't jump on it, maybe I missed something you said, so you can repeat it. So.
Okay, yeah. Apologies for that. I think it's the network at the hotel here. I'm going to have to get back to the other hotel. It seemed to have a better network last week, so we'll have to see what I can do there. It's sorry about that, but we'll soldier on. And by the way, if for any reason the network drops and it gets quiet at my end, we'll be dialing back in again, either on my phone or through the computer network, either way. Anyway, but back to the question. So you mentioned the first couple of kind of issues on your list. One was the health, with all this radiation being the safety with the fires occurring. And you said those fires occur mainly at the at the boxes where the meter is installed. Any instances where, if you like, controlling appliances has caused?
Okay, I missed the last part of your question.
Have there been any instances where, because a power company was controlling an appliance, that caused a safety issue?
No, not that I'm aware of. Basically, here are the problems with the safety issues. The number one thing is, at least none of the meters in Maryland have ever been certified safe by Underwriters Laboratory or an equivalent organization. That's shocking to people, but they're not. And I suspect that is a similar problem nationwide. I know of no meter design that ever has been certified safe by UL or an equivalent organization. There's an industry group that certified one of them safe, and that was the one that caused 19 fires in Philadelphia. So obviously we're not really convinced these guys know what they're doing or giving it an objective review. So that's the main takeaway. And there are over 900 fires that have been linked to smart meters around the country. The second problem is the way they're designed. Now, if you look at your analog meter, it's basically metal on the inside and glass, a glass bubble around it. And when something gets overheated, it can dissipate the heat. When you have a smart meter, it's basically a plastic innards with a resin covering it. And when that gets hot and starts burning, the meter itself catches on fire. You can see video in Philadelphia with some of those meters with flames shooting out of the meter. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that the way they're being installed, I mentioned they're being installed under load, so there's pitting that goes on, and that can increase the degradation of the terminals and ultimately lead to arcing and a fire. In addition, you have, there's a study out there that shows that the radiation they're using for the smart meters also contributes to the degradation of the jaws, or the contacts where the meter plugs in. So, and finally, the house itself where it's plugged into may not be in good enough shape to handle a smart meter. For instance, the wiring may not be compatible with what the smart meter is doing, for cases where it put the smart meter in, there's like bursts of sparks come flying out of the box. Then you also have a problem with appliances in the home where somehow the radiation seems to be hit. It's usually the sensitive ones that are very expensive, where the whole appliance gets clobbered and you have a major expense. And of course, the utilities are never going to admit that it's their fault. But you know, you hear the smell, the burning of something, you know, something on the appliances, and it's usually the fancy electronic things that have the problem. So you have all these kinds of situations. In fact, we have one woman who doesn't want to go public yet, but she actually had a small fire in her basement from the smart meter. Any case, so that's the safety risk. The health risk is very different, and that is from this pulsed radiation. Now, the another key thing is, just like there's never been any smart meter design that I'm aware of that has passed UL muster, there has never been a safety study of smart meters in the home. We have no idea what impact these smart meters are going to have on human health. Well, we can have some hints, unfortunately, and that is there are over 1,000 studies. They're not smart meters, but they've studied this kind of radiation. And there are 1,000 studies indicating it has a harmful effect on health. So there are studies on the other side, usually funded by the industry. But just to give you an idea, that the organizations with the broader view, okay, the World Health Organization, the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, which picks a Nobel Prize winner in medicine every year, American Academy of Environmental Medicine, American Academy of Pediatrics, they are all down on wireless devices, and some specifically, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, specifically down on smart meters, because they are aware of the impact these things have on a broad array of medical conditions, adverse effect. It's like having a cell tower in the middle of your house.
That's not a good. Doesn't sound like a good idea. Jonathan, I need to jump to another commercial, and when we come.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of the other issues, and that we talked a little bit about the invasion of privacy. Maybe we'll come back to that, but also the lack of savings. And you also mentioned in your email a national security threat, and I'm very interested to hear about that. So we'll do that. I'll put you on hold again, and we'll be. So, folks, we will be back, as I said, need to play the commercials, and then we'll continue with Jonathan Liver.
Alarming signs. Are you watching for them? Before the Great Depression, there were alarming signs. Before the 2008 Great Recession, there were early indicators. If you miss those, pay attention. Today's economic warnings couldn't be more clear. Federal debt is $16 trillion, and in 8 years is projected to hit $22 trillion. Enough to bankrupt the country. While our currency is being debased, China, Russia, India, and others are stockpiling gold to prepare. Can your family afford another financial loss of 20, 30, even 40%? Get informed. Protect your assets right now. Call Lear Capital and request a free copy of the special report, Rising Debt and Record Gold Ahead. Call right now. 800-958-5306. 800-958-5306. Call Lear now. 800-958-5306.
Are you at least 62 years old like me? Could you use an extra $50,000, $100,000 or more to live a better life? Then please consider the benefits a reverse mortgage can provide to you. With a reverse mortgage, you can have your mortgage payments stopped altogether and get equity out of your home to live on. And you can use the money to help you live a better life. How nice would that be, not to have a mortgage payment? Qualifying for a reverse mortgage is simple, since there are no income, asset, employment, or credit requirements. However, you must be 62 years or older, own your home outright, or have a very low balance on the mortgage, and be prepared to live in it throughout the rest of the loan. Call now for more information.
800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. That's 800-704-1662.
This is Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio, keeping the spirit of America alive. A proud member of the Red State Talk Radio Network. And this is Stephanie of Patrick Come Lately. We have passed the bottom of the second half of the show. We're talking to Jonathan Liber about smart meters. And by the way, if anybody has a question, obviously if you're in the chat room, you can put your questions to Jonathan there. I will relay them to him. Otherwise, feel free to dial in. The number is 917-889-9161, and we'll try and bring you into the show as quickly as possible, but you can listen along to the show through the phone while you're waiting. Jonathan, I said before the break, I'd like to move on, and we did touch in the first half of the show on invasion of privacy. The electricity companies basically are seeing everything that's going on. How many or how prevalent are these chipped devices that can actually sort of tell the electricity company who's using the electricity? Because I think right now they just see you're using a lot. They don't know who's using it. Again, can you recognize the appliances that that have these chips in them?
Okay, well, the truth of the matter is there are some smart meters are a lot smarter than others. The ones that are being used in Maryland have flunked out of the sixth grade, so they're not that smart. So the only way they can tell from, you know, what appliances are being used and for how long and how much energy they're drawing is by when they're chipped, finally. Truth of the matter is that it doesn't take much to upgrade a smart meter, and you can actually pick up information without being chipped, because every single motor in your electric motor in your home has a signature it gives. You can, if you look at a energy use chart, you can see each time the fridge goes on. You can see each someone's using the television. You can see when the heater or air conditioner goes on. They all look different, okay? So anyone who could get some information, if they pick it up, could know what appliances are being used and when or whatever. And interestingly enough, it's not just a bunch of unconnected information. This is particularly useful because you could look at energy use to figure out, let's say, if only children are home. Because when only children are home, they don't run the dishwasher.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And but they're on the TV,
right,
and the fridge and whatever, okay? So you can, yeah, know when you can tell when nobody's home. You can tell when people are asleep but home.
Yeah.
And you can tell when people are running a business out of their home, which may not have proper certification by the government. The government might want to know that. Maybe the insurance company wants to know if you're running a business because it's maybe they want to charge you more money. So, or maybe they want to know what expensive electronics you have in your home, and not only the utility, but maybe someone who is hacking into the system, when, like, say, wants to know they're thinking of robbing your house. They want to know what you got. So this is pretty problematic. Now, on top of that, State of California is taking this data and selling it to marketers. This data is worth a fortune, okay? Because here's what happens. Instead of marketing new wall ovens to hundreds of thousands of people in an area, they can just ask the power company to tell them who has a wall oven that's over 5 years old, and they can spit it right back to them. And now you know who to market your new wall ovens to. And so now Maryland, evidently it's not happening in Maryland, okay? I don't know how long that's going to be because this stuff's worth a fortune. Right now the data is not worth anything because they can't capture it and massage it, but eventually they will, and they may change their approach later on. So this is of great concern to us. Locally, okay, there's a power company called Dominion Energy, Dominion Power, and in addition to servicing its own customers, they also sell on because of deregulation to other people outside their service area. They recently dumped 800 customers back on their home utilities because they found they weren't profitable enough. They monitor their energy use. They probably were using too much peak energy, which was costing them too much money. So it has interesting applications. Another thing that people don't realize, okay, is that utility can provide information to the police on demand, okay? For instance, let's suppose someone is charged with a crime or he's a suspect, let's say, and they say, well, we think you were involved in this murder over here. And he says, oh, no, I was home when the murder was committed, right? That's his alibi. Well, the police go to the power company and say, well, I'd like to know what your power, the power use was in this guy's home the night of the murder, right? And now you have very information. You can see that no one's home because you can see from the power use. You do not need a warrant for this, okay? This is a real shocker. Why no warrant? It sounds like a classic constitutional violation. Well, it's not because the Constitution only protects, let's say I'm the defendant, right? It protects me. I do not have to provide information if I don't want to unless they have a warrant, okay? However, if they're getting it from a third party like the power company, you don't need a warrant for that. So in Texas and Ohio, the police are routinely getting this information to verify criminal alibis. Okay. So this is a real concern of ours, or the real slippery slope problem, okay? And then you have the hacking problem, which goes hand in hand. The utilities are trying mightily to make sure that doesn't happen, but the hacking experts we talk to say it's not doable. You can, as far as you go and as sophisticated as you get to protect it, the hackers will come and break through at some point. And Pacific Gas Electric already admitted that people are hacking in, but they want to say how much. And now some of it's just stuff they're putting their energy use on your bill, okay? And if they do it subtly, like $20 a month, you'd never figure it out, okay? Or there may be something nefarious. They can shut down your appliances remotely. So that's the hacking problem. Then you have a national security issue, okay, which you were mentioning before, and that is here's the problem. The meters are assembled in New England and Mexico, okay? The components, though, come from outside the U.S., and the meter manufacturers refuse to disclose the countries of origin. Well, if you look on the internet and see who's selling these things and the components, it's countries like China, okay? If China wanted to, China knows they can't beat us militarily, but they could bring down the country by bringing down the grid. And the grid, the number one grid they're going to target, if they're going to target any, it could be China or North Korea or Iran, okay? The number one grid is our grid because we're connected to the same one as D.C., and then that's the number one target. So what you do is they can put malware on these components, which can be activated at the appropriate time and shut down the entire power grid. And even I think the Inspector General of the Department of Energy has been alerting people, but no one's paying much attention to it. So this is a major concern of ours. It's not a state issue. It's really a federal issue. And ultimately, we'll probably have to see what our elected representatives in Congress can do to try to rectify this problem. But it's of great concern of us. I used to work for the Environmental Protection Agency, which is probably not a big popular agency for a lot of your listeners. But I was in the Office of Enforcement there. And one of the last things they did, I heard a lecture from the I retired. So I heard a lecture from the general from the National Guard who went into New Orleans after Katrina. He said something very, very disturbing, and that is you take any American city or Western city and deprive it of electricity for 2 weeks, you will turn into a third-world city, right? No refrigeration, no gasoline, you can't pump gas, can't buy stuff from the stores because it's all in UPC codes. You know, it is a disaster city. So they know they can bring down our grid by if they put malware on it. That is a major, major security problem for us.
Okay. And I want to come back to that after the break, but we've got about another minute before the break. I have a question from one of the listeners in the chat room, and she was asking, she says she lives in an apartment. It can find out whether the apartment Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
The listener was asking about living in an apartment block and finding out about smart meter in an apartment block. Do you have any hints on that?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and it's a real problem, and that is, even if we're pushing opt-outs in Maryland, that's as much as we can hope for. Even if you opt out and you're in an apartment building, if the other side of the wall where you're sleeping is a bank of meters, you know, 20, 30 meters, you're going to get fried no matter what, whether you opted out or not. And what we urge people to do, there's a fellow in our group who is very enterprising, and he had a 90-unit apartment building. He got the whole apartment to opt out, all 90 units, okay? But if you live in a multifamily building, it could be apartment, it could be a townhouse, okay, it could be row houses, and the meters are in close proximity with other meters to your where you're living, then you're going to get their radiation. It's very strong, powerful stuff. So it is a major concern of ours, and we've alerted people, but we're not getting an awful lot of response out of the Public Service Commission. So, yeah, it is a real problem.
Okay, well, final time, Jonathan, so just hang on for a couple of minutes, and as they say, we'll be back after these messages. And here comes the final messages.
Are you at least 62 years old like me? Could you use an extra $50,000, $100,000 or more to live a better life? Then please consider the benefits a reverse mortgage can provide to you. With a reverse mortgage, you can have your mortgage payments stopped altogether and get equity out of your home to live on. And you can use the money to help you live a better life. How nice would that be, not to have a mortgage payment? Qualifying for a reverse mortgage is simple, since there are no income, asset, employment, or credit requirements. However, you must be 62 years or older, own your home outright, or have a very low balance on the mortgage, and be prepared to live in it throughout the rest of the loan. Call now for more information.
800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. That's 800-704-1662.
The Freedom Swings Conservative Minute. Hello, freedom lovers. Syria has just gotten very interesting. Israel has struck Damascus a couple times in the past few days. Assad is saying that he's going to declare war on Israel. President Obama has said that if chemical weapons are used in Syria, it would be crossing a red line, and now there seems to be proof that that has happened. Although, when an Obama aide was asked about it, his response was, "If he drops sarin on his own people, what's that got to do with us?" There really are no good options here, but if ever there was a time for Obama to show some leadership, now is that time. And I have no faith that that's going to happen. You can listen to the Freedom Swing Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/freedomswings. Also, check us out on Twitter under Freedom's Wings. Please like our page, The Freedom's Wings Show, over at Facebook, and check out freedomswingspolitics.com for breaking news, political analysis, wings gear, and much, much more.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. Well, we're into the last few minutes of the show. This is Stephanie Patrick Cumlately. We're talking to Jonathan Liber. And before we get back to Jonathan, just a quick shout out to some other guests in the chat room. We've been joined by Iggy Mom, Line, and also Mary C.S., and especially welcome to Mary, because she says she does volunteer for the Maryland Smart Meter Awareness Organization. So thanks for doing that, Mary. And she says she has been affected by the in her home office, so she knows that what we're talking about actually does happen. Jonathan, in the last few minutes, you said you've got a fairly strong grassroots organization in Maryland. What about what's your knowledge of groups elsewhere in the country?
Okay. And I think Mary might be able to help out. I think she's developed a website for us that lists the groups. But California has probably the strongest group. They were already well along in the deployment over a year ago, 2 years ago. So they really have quite a number of people. They're well organized. So that's when the price strikes because they're being the strongest. But they have it's all over the country. It's Maine, Michigan, Illinois, Virginia, Texas. There are groups all over the states, depending on how aggressive the utilities have been and how concerned the citizens are in trying to organize. I just talked to someone today about trying to get something organized in the state of Pennsylvania, and he was very interested. I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not, but you need people who really care and are willing to devote some time and effort to it. Money helps, although it's more important to have dedicated people who are knowledgeable than anything else and get the word out. So that's as far as I know. Maybe. Yep.
Yeah. And finally, the question about the apartments, it was another Mary was saying that, she has individual meters in her apartment. So basically, that's really just like a house. You have to... You have to go look, and you also have to check the rules, I guess, whether you can opt out of this kind of thing if you suspect you have that, correct?
Right, right. And if you do have the option to opt out, you got to get your neighbors, if you're living in close proximity, like a townhouse or apartment building, you need to get them to cooperate with you and also opt out so you don't get each other's radiation.
Okay, and Mary C.S. has put a link in the chat room, but for listeners who are listening to the recording, if they go to .net, you can find more information. There are apparently something like 32 states now with actions, groups, movements, etc. And if you're in one of the other, because the guy in the White House says there are 57 states. Start your own group and then get in contact with MSMA and get added to the list.
Right. Good idea.
Almost at the end here, Jonathan. Time flies when you're having fun. And I want to thank you for coming on and giving me a lot of useful information. I'm going to take this and go and have a lot closer look at my meter at home. I know it's digital. I don't know if it's smart, so I'm going to go find out.
Good, good.
Thanks for all the useful information.
It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed being on your show. And if anyone has any follow-up questions, they should contact our website, and they'll funnel the questions to the appropriate parties in the organization.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing to do. And, let's information going out. That's one of the objectives of the show. So thanks for coming on, Jonathan.
Sure.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And folks, thanks to Jonathan. Thanks to you for coming along. Next week, things that happened recently in the UK, what I'm looking for good news, but we'll tell you about that. We'll tell you a bit more detail about that next week, and I've got another rant that I want to go through, so I think we will have lots of fun news and views next week. More authors. Apologies for some problems with the audio quality. I do suspect that it is the hotel's network, so I'm going to have to go and work and see if I can worm my way back into the previous hotel and get back to a better network. I'm glad that I had some comments that it was bad, but not too bad. So apologies for that. Better next week. And if you have any particular topics you'd like to see in the next few weeks, feel free to email me. You can always use stefan@patriotcomelately.com. Questions, comments, or anything. Really appreciate feedback. I had some feedback this week from someone. It's just nice to know that there are other people out there. Obviously, with the numbers as high as they are, there are lots of people out there, but it's also nice to know that they are really listening and giving feedback, so I appreciate that. Just a quick reminder for those of you that that want to use the services advertised in the show, the auto insurance, 800-603-9980. 800-445-1099, and for reverse mortgages, 800-704-1662. Please do contact them. Appreciate your support, and it's next week. We'll and so thanks for being here this time, and as I always say, like to sign off with TTFN, ta-ta for now, folks. Here's the music. It's time to go. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's topics. Whether you listened live, to a recording, or to a rebroadcast, I appreciate the time you share with me. We need to spread the message of liberty far and wide, so please tell your friends and family about the show. Thank you for helping to keep the beacon of hope burning. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, signing off. God bless America, and remember, L3, long live liberty.